One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and we are here for a very special Power of the Light Side episode. Joseph, as people know, the pop culture punditry landscape is in a little bit of a quandary with the SAG-AFTRA WJ strike going on strong. We explain a lot of what's going on with us on the news episodes this week. Go check it out. But we still want to celebrate Star Wars and what it means to us.
That is right. And we were really looking at what can we do to celebrate Star Wars while also still living in the murky ambiguity of the letter of the guideline from SAG-AFTRA, but also the spirit of the guideline from SAG-AFTRA. I literally stared in the mirror this morning, Ken, and said, who are we? What as broadcasters, what are nouns? And this is something that we didn't get to talk about on the news show. And I think that's one of the things that I love about what we do on Four Center. And I think what a lot of people do is we don't fit into a neat box. We absolutely do reviews. We say things that we aren't sure about or bothered us or we don't like when we deeply analytically review things. We are influencers, promoters, not in that we're getting paid by Lucasfilm, but we encourage people to watch Book of Boba Fett multiple times and appreciate the Rancor and the Lortha Peel watermonger and the meanings. We just talk as fans. We try to be funny, and we're working as comedians and entertainers by doing this. We are so many different things that it's hard to really figure out what we should be following, what we're being asked to follow, and what our hearts and our souls and our support of the unions make us want to follow, you know?
Yeah, and as people who work with these unions, or in Jen Landis' case, are in the union right now, it makes it makes it important for us to find the right ways for it. And we appreciate all your support. We appreciate a lot of people saying, "Hey, but this guy said this on the internet, and that's a good choice for them or that channel." It's kind of an individual basis here. The spirit of the law, like you talk about, Joseph, is what we kind of want to understand in our hearts, is what I'll say.
Yeah, what that means. Exactly. Yeah. And I think for people who maybe don't have the whole stew of nouns that we do, but people who just, they work for a site or a magazine and they're a reviewer, period. And they don't go around saying, I'm a fan, but also a reviewer. And they're just reviewers and they're just writing a review. That to me gives it this clarity. Mm-hmm. But looking in my heart and in the mirror, we're fans. Mm-hmm. We're not paid, but we promote. We encourage people to watch stuff. So that, I think, is what I'm still wrestling with. And while we're wrestling with it, I feel okay promoting the soul of Star Wars, that, it, in my opinion, can only be owned by George Lucas creators, you know, and what all connects us through the force of Star Wars is the soul of it. So you had this great suggestion of while we're trying to figure out the specifics of, probably shouldn't promote new work from a struck company, but what about old work from a struck company? While we're still trying to figure that out, we can celebrate the soul of Star Wars. We already have a great way to do that. If people have been listening to our Cues of the Force episodes, we've been doing this thing where we ask for submissions from patrons for a Power of the Light Side submission. And that's been a segment at the end of our Cues show for a while now. And what this came from is, a couple of years ago, and I think still now, but a couple of years ago in particular, a lot of people in the Star Wars community felt like the negative voices aren't necessarily more, but they're sure drowning out the joy. Yeah. We just wanted to have a space to let the light side emerge and just ask people to share something about Star Wars that they love. Could be a scene, could be a moment, could be a specific way it touched their lives. And we've got all sorts of different kinds of submissions. And we pulled two today, and they're very different from one another, which just shows all the different ways that Star Wars affects our lives. You have any general thoughts on the concept of the Power of the Light Side segment?
I think it's why we are here, me and Jennifer over the years. Part of our branding, you know, celebrating Star Wars, center of the galaxy, all that stuff we've had. This is what draws us to it. And even though it's changed for me, how I talk about Star Wars, how I engage with it has changed over the years. It's grown. It's gotten deeper, following your path down to the themes. But at the end of the day, right, it's like, what does this make us feel? What do you think about Star Wars in your real life? How does it find you? That's why we do some of that stuff. Even when I work other jobs in this town, the digital media world, and I'm in pitch meetings and people are putting Easter egg videos out because those are going to get the big hits, and they're taking shots at Star Wars or Episode 9 or Book of Boba Fett. I always just want to go, time out. I understand that could take, but what does it make you feel? What does Dial of Destiny even make you feel to jump over to like the Indiana Jones fandom? Because that's why we're here, how it affects you and how it makes you feel. And the Power of the Light Side is exactly what you said. It is a chance to hear the voices that sometimes might be a little softer because they're off in the corner just enjoying something. They're not angry in a car screaming about it. And I think I love these stories because they go so many different places. And they're personal stories for the people that send them.
Yeah, yeah. And we learn about all the different ways that Star Wars affects people's lives. And sometimes it's a really similar and universal, but sometimes it's that specific through the universal. If I don't have that specific experience, but that feeling that it led to, oh, that's so familiar. And I think that's really beautiful about these as well. All right. Are you ready, Ken?
I am ready.
Okay, so our first Power of the Light Side segment comes from listener, patron, a Star Wars fan, Anakin Crespin. And as we have confirmed, Anakin is his actual name, which is very cool. So here's what Anakin has to say. Hello, friends. As one of my favorite characters, I thought what they did with Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi was perfect in a way and definitely very epic, despite being torn about him dying so soon in the story. I was connected to him in that movie because years ago, I was a very different person, a lot like young Luke Skywalker, actually, but had been sort of changed by years of depression and traumatic events. Yet I'm still that hopeful kid deep down inside, you know? For that reason, The Last Jedi has always been so validating and inspiring to me, but more recently I have grown an even greater appreciation for Luke's story arc. Late 2019, I had just beaten an addiction that I'd battled for years and made the decision to start saving for music equipment to pick back up on my dream of making music for a living. But soon COVID hit, financial struggles ensued, and a few years later I realized that two or three more years of my life had gone by like that, and I had nothing to show for it. I had neglected my hopes and dreams yet again. Even if I still had it in me, I have so much anxiety. I'm much less confident and outgoing than I used to be. Could I even perform in front of people like I did when I was younger and dreamed of doing for the rest of my life? Would I even want to? Was this all my life was going to be now? I'm only 28 years old, but was definitely having a bit of a midlife crisis. Now, please bear with me as I take it back to Luke Skywalker for a moment. With the announcement of the new Jedi Order movie back in April, I started having thoughts about what maybe could have been, how amazing it would have been if the great Luke Skywalker had survived the sequel trilogy and gone on to rebuild the new Jedi Order that would last for generations to come, like in Legends. Mostly so we could see him go on to save the galaxy again and have a few more adventures instead of only getting to see him in action again in The Last Jedi. But in thinking about Luke's legacy, I remembered a conversation he had with a Jedi of the High Republic made possible by a weird mushroom force plant in the current comic series. Luke explains that he's having a hard time trying to become a Jedi and live up to what the Jedi are supposed to be, and that he's doing it all alone. The Jedi then tells Luke that the Order tends to be what it needs to be for any particular time, that sometimes they govern or are warriors, teachers, or explorers, that sometimes we do all of those things, and sometimes we are carved down to nothing. Those who are left must bear the responsibility of being one last bit of light in a galaxy filled with endless dark. And I realized how incredible Luke's legacy as a Jedi truly is, and about all the good he did for the galaxy and the Order in his lifetime. I'm sure his life didn't turn out the way he wanted it to or thought it would either, and he left the fight, but in the end he saved Leia, the Resistance, and preserved the Jedi Order yet again. Because he still chose to project himself to Krayt. He still felt peace and purpose. So I've chosen once again to dream and make music. And if it ever goes somewhere, awesome. If I ever get there and decide I don't want to be a performer anymore, that's okay too. And if I never even make it, at least I will have tried. Since music makes me feel the same way that Star Wars does, it will have been a good life just doing what I love. For me, that's the power of the light side. Just follow your heart and keep your mind on Krayt. It's never too late. That is beautiful. Ken, after you wipe away a tear, what are your thoughts?
I have a lot of different thoughts on this, Anakin. It's wonderful. Because this is also, to me, about being who you are or who you want to be, not in the sense of a profession, but just like, to me, Luke connected to who he is, right? And did some actions based around it. That I think were outside the title of Jedi, the Last Jedi, or warrior, priest, monk, teacher, explorer, all those things that you talk about here in a wonderful way. Luke did what Luke needed to do for himself. And there's something in there too, even hearing your struggle, Anakin, with like career stuff, and I have this dream and I connected to it. Then I kind of walked away from it. Back when I was a baseball coach, one of the kids was just 10 years old and playing at an 18-year-old level, right? He just had all the skills in the world, and he was a kind of a team leader and in that regard on the field. But off the field, he was also a great kid. Had some wonderful parents. And I remember at the end of the season, I sent letters to all my kids. You know, it was 1998, so I couldn't email them as much. Handwritten letters. Here's your season stats. Here's what you did. I told this kid, Andrew, I said, the thing I'm really confident in you is you have a lot of skills and you might go on to play in Major League Baseball. But that is most likely a hard road that might not happen for many different reasons. But what I love is you have a great future no matter what you are, because no matter what you do, because of who you are. And you're connecting to that and you got to find that. And you sometimes lose that along the way. And I think Luke lost that along the way because that's so real, because that's what happened. I don't want to get too dark. I'll put a little bit of a warning for you. You know, I was really depressed a lot. I battle it, still do. But really early 2000s, it was really bad. A lot of it with career stuff. I did have like a suicidal incident in 2003, and that was bad. And I went and I recovered and I worked to recover. I felt so good. And the rest of that year, I was like, I'm on the road again. And then in 2004, I tried again. And that hurt worse, not because not because of what I was feeling, but because I found myself back where I was. And that seemed so overwhelming. That seemed so like, how could this happen again? And so I think of, you know, I don't mean to trivialize it by looking at Luke. In fact, I'm the other way around. I had a lot of power to the story of Luke and Last Jedi of, I conquered this. I threw down my lightsaber. I helped redeem my father. We won the galaxy. Things happen. And now here I am again with the blade ignited for even a second over my nephew. How did I get here again? God, that sucks. God, that who am I? I'm disconnected from myself, and it can be crushing. And that's part of the story that I think it's debated in a really surface level of Luke upped, even Rian Johnson back in the day saying, you know, he didn't up his skill level like a video game, and that's just where you stay. It's not real. So, anyways, all that to say, and I don't mean to get dark and deep, but Anakin, I feel what you're saying there too. But it's about finding yourself no matter what you're going to do going forward, reconnecting and doing what's right for you. And that often, by the way, connects with what's right for others. So powerful stuff there, and I absolutely want to hear your music.
Yeah, Ken, I don't think you're being too dark or deep. Obviously, that level of depression and that level of frustration in darkness, it is of course dark, but I think that's what Anakin is talking about. And that's what Luke is about. And what Luke is about in The Last Jedi is that that's what the light is bringing you back from the darkness when it is really, really, really hard to step away from the darkness.
Yeah.
When you have every reason to say, I slipped. So that's who I am. I'm a person who's just going to keep slipping back toward negative thoughts. I'm a person who is going to slip back towards not pursuing the dreams. I'm a person who is going to think for 1 second I can stop the horror of the dark side the easy way with a quick lightsaber stroke. Just for a second. And he was in a world he never would have done it. It was just a flash. A fleeting shadow, as they say in the movie. And that's so much what the light side is about. It's the light side is not about toxic positivity of never bring up anything dark, only cookies and bunnies. That only cookies and bunnies is not the power of the light side. The power of the light side is acknowledging that life is very difficult and striving toward what makes us feel peace, purpose, joy, whole connection. I think it presents itself in lots of different ways. Everything from the very, I heroically sacrifice for someone else. I'm super zen and I can meditate, on a subway, but it's also what Anakin's talking about of, and I think the way it hits me in metaphors about the Force hit me the most is, because of the kind of life that I've led, and I know you have too, and Anakin is leading, is expressing yourself through art. It's this capturing of something that maybe science can explain, but to me, it is those more than the sum of our parts moments. How science can explain how notes work, but the idea that you're playing music or you're reading an audience, doing comedy or a stage show, and you reach this moment of sort of transcendence where I understand all the parts of this, but somehow it is this sort of magical expression of who I want to be, who I am, something that can't be entirely captured in words and you feel like you are being yourself and honest to yourself. And that is one of the things that to me feels like the light side. And when you're falling to the dark side, how do you get back to that? And I think that's a lot of Luke's journey is in The Last Jedi is he has lots of rational reasons. He slipped up, you know, he let, even before that lightsaber moment, Snoke, he says Snoke had already turned his heart. So,
yeah,
you know, we don't know the details of how all that happened, but, you know, he slipped up. He didn't protect his nephew the way he needed to. Leia sent him to him in the first place to try to get him balanced. And Luke did his best. And he has these rational reasons to be concerned, rational reasons to critique mistakes the Jedi have made over the years. But I think his journey in The Last Jedi is to be like, yeah, but at the same time, you're just scared to try again. And that's what he tells Rey in Rise of Skywalker. It was fear that kept me on this island. Mm-hmm. And I think it was fear of what if I reach for the light again and it doesn't work? What if I slip? What if it doesn't work to reach for the light? And it does. It saves Leia. It saves the resistance, as Anakin is saying. Crucially to the story of the Jedi, it inspires the galaxy, but it also inspires Rey. It shows her you were right. Even when it's really difficult, even when it feels like a small act, the light needs to push back against the dark.
Yeah, one of my favorite things you said in that, and you just said a bunch of wonderful things, but the idea that in those moments, those dark moments, that you can be convinced that that's who you really are, right? And the struggle is always to because it's also easier too. But by the way, you know, when it comes to depression or any kind of mental health issues, seek the right help, seek the support, and sometimes that might be medicine, that might be other things beyond just talking to someone. There's a lot of ways to deal with it. So I want to make that clear. Before I say something like this, it's not just you don't simply just choose to be happy. But there is, it is about realizing in that moment you're telling yourself, and it's a little easier to be like, well, I'm a dark failure. I'm in the darkness. I'm a failure. That can be, it's quicker, more seductive and takes, less work than, yeah, I'm going to wake up today and I actively have to decide what is good in my life and what is there. And you know, like I said, I'm trying to be careful about saying that. I don't want to suggest that you just, like you said, bunnies and cookies. But it's, in those moments, so Luke puts up the blade. Well, I guess this is who I really am. And you could stop there and live in that moment and believe it, but it's a lie. And that's why I think it's powerful that Luke connects to who he is as a Jedi and just who he is in this story. Mm-hmm. So I just love that you said that. I think it's just, it can be real easy to convince yourself, oh, I am a pile of crap, you know, which is what Ken tells himself every day when he wakes up. And I got to work through it every day.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I have a lot of negative voices that I need to continue to work on. And again, yeah, not to just be all bunnies and cookies, but to like let the pain and the sadness hit of mistakes you made or things that didn't turn out the way you wanted them to, and to just sometimes just let that hit, and then say it's okay that hit me, but I'm not going to stay there. Mm-hmm. And you know, finding all sorts of different ways and tools and resources to help yourself not just stay there. Anakin's talking about the way all of this ties into, for him, a pursuit of art. And we end up talking about that a lot because it's our life experience mm-hmm. on the podcast, but I think it extends to no matter who you wanted to be, you know, if you wanted to be a world-class competitive fisher, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. It's that vision of this is not just the career I wanted to have, or I wanted to have a house and 2.5 kids. To me, whatever your life goal was, it's about that. Mm-hmm. This is what felt like it would make me feel like I am who I am.
Yeah.
And it not necessarily, we get that tied up in the competition of success. Mm-hmm. And I think Anakin's saying some really smart things about if you make an effort to pursue whatever it is that makes you feel like you are you, that you have peace and purpose, maybe it'll lead toward the level of success or accomplishment that will really make you feel fulfilled. Mm. But hopefully, if you're just doing a thing that you love, there is fulfillment from that. And that's something that it's part of the reason I'm working on these short films I've been out here pitching and I've had some close calls, mm-hmm. and I really just got to the point of like, I need to make things because that's, mm-hmm. that's when I feel like I am who I am and who I promised myself to be when I was young. I didn't promise myself to be successful. I promised myself to be an artist and to feel that glow that I feel when I create things and when I work with other people to create things. So I had to work hard to get back to that.
Yeah. No, that's powerful stuff there too. And it's easy to slide away from it. I think, in the last few years I've had a little bit more, I have a little bit more success in stand up, not because I've unlocked some formula, because I finally, after all these years, was like, who am I on stage? Cause for years mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I need to be a comic, need to be a comedian. And even though I've had some funny bits and moments and everything over my life, at the end of the day, I wasn't myself on stage. What story am I trying to tell? That's why I got into this. That's why I left town, my hometown, to go find out, what stories I wanted to tell. And I think it's easy. I like what you say there about, that's the thing you and I talk about a lot about, our thoughts on competition. And how I've come to the point of someone who's a fan of sports realizing that I think the competition is the refiner's fire to make you a better person. And that got cast aside for the result, the win. And the focus mm-hmm. is on the win, which is something I know that's important to your heart of saying, hey, why are we all trying to win at the cost of everything? Mm-hmm. Isn't it about being a better version of ourselves? And I to take it back to stars, I think that's a lot of stuff what might have been at play with Luke too as well. But anyways, we're going all over the map as we should with this conversation. This stuff makes me feel, and now, yeah. And trying to find out who am I beyond the titles, who am I? And so that way I carry myself into every situation or every job or every stage and reconnecting to that self.
Yeah. And I love that we keep coming back to this question of pushing through the darkness and finding your way back to the light by asking, who are you? Mm-hmm. I have a quote at the top of my, my notes app on my phone. I have a general sort of a to-do thing with all just kind of what are life notes. My wife got me started on this book series that I read whenever we can kind of take a little vacation and I can just like read a short book in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. It's a series called Mrs. Polifax. And it is, the first book is called The Unexpected Mrs. Polifax. And it's about an older woman whose kids have grown up, her husband's gone, and she just needs something in her life. She gets scared of the dark place she's going because she needs something. And she decides, well, maybe I'll try to join the CIA. Yeah. So it's this kind of, it starts from this, a little bit of this comedy place of, wouldn't it be funny if an old retired woman was kind of trying to be, a James Bond figure. But the books are written, by a woman with a lot of life experience about this older woman, Mrs. Polifax, with all this life experience. So there'll be comedy and then there'll be actual violence, but then there'll be Mrs. Polifax is always just kind of spitting these little words of wisdom. And the most recent one I read is Mrs. Polifax in the Hong Kong Buddha. And there was a quote, a thing that she said to a younger person who was beating themselves up for all the issues we were talking about, that they wanted to be on this life path. And then 10 years ago, they made this horrible decision and they were mad at themselves and they regret it. And what are they going to do? And Mrs. Polifax says, we all betray ourselves from time to time, or how else would we find out what ourselves are? And it just really helped me to honestly go through the journey that Luke does in The Last Jedi with Yoda saying like, yeah, you betrayed yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You made a mistake and it reminded you who you are, who you want to be. Mm-hmm. And to accept that as a part of the journey of life, instead of the sort of narrative I think that we're all trying to live up to of like, I turned 21 and I decided my path and then I ascended mountain after mountain, higher and higher. And like that happens to some of us sometimes, maybe, but really even you dig into like mega successes. Like I went to a screening of Purple Rain, the film that Prince made, and heard a bunch of stuff about how he also wanted to conquer the world of film and had failures and had to, you know, and was always upset about it. And like, yeah, I'm a titan of music, but what I really want to do is film. Like, it happens to all of us. And I think it's helped me to just go, okay, when I make a misstep, I betrayed myself a little bit, but it will help me clarify who I want to be.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I think I need that. I'm going to paste that on a, can I crochet that and put it on a mobile?
Like a yep.
Needle point. Yeah. Yeah. And that it's an ongoing journey, which is why I think, you know, when Last Jedi came out and there was so much from that movie going on, but like when it was, and I still struggle with people like, oh, that's not Luke. And I'm not making the hashtag. That's not my, you know, not my Luke, whatever. I have people are like, but that's not what he did in Return of the Jedi. I'm like 30 years ago, 30 mm-hmm. years ago. You haven't changed. I've known you for 10 years and you've changed 7 times. like, what are you talking about? Yeah. And part of the frustration leads back to the joy of these kind of conversations, where I kind of sometimes just want you all to experience this kind of thing, whether it be Star Wars or a song or music, you know, any kind of music or a TV show. What inspires you? Art is that. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. And Luke's journey inspires me because he is somebody who is reconnecting with who he really wants to be. And, oh, it feels so good as an audience member. It feels so good for him. That look on his face of like, there I am. That's who I want to be. You know, it's beautiful.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Anakin, so much. And best of luck on all your journeys. And no matter what, enjoy your music. Enjoy your expression of yourself. As much as Luke Skywalker enjoys being a Jedi.
Indeed.
Any other thoughts before we take a quick break, Ken?
No, Anakin, just know yourself. David Bowie says, music is not an important part of my life. It's how I get my ideas out. It's my medium. So focus on that. Tell your stories.
There you go. From Luke Skywalker to David Bowie to Mrs. Polifax. All the quotes you need to get you through your day. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with another Power of the Light Side. Back in a moment.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back. We've got another Power of the Light Side entry. But first, even though we're not doing our Q's and A's show, we still have an important A to talk about, right, Ken?
We do. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We have 4center recommends. It might be Mrs. Polifax. Can you get that on Audible?
I don't know. I'll look into it.
But what are we recommending today?
We are recommending The Princess and the Scoundrel by Beth Revis, because that is what is in my notes. But we should also recommend, because there's nothing stopping us from recommending two things.
No.
The new Star Wars Inquisitor Rise of the Red Blade. Ken has started this one and is very excited about it. We chatted a little bit about it. I haven't cracked it open yet, and I can't wait to get into it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to give that one a listen, or The Princess and the Scoundrel, which is in my notes because I just love that book, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for a free audiobook. Any other audiobook thoughts, Ken?
No, if that's a good way to help us and help your ears and your souls. Win all.
Help your ears. All right, we have one more Power of the Light Side. This one comes to us from Lightspeed Bear. We've asked Anakin if Anakin is his real first name. We have not had a chance to ask Lightspeed if Lightspeed is their first name. It might be, and that would be awesome. Here's what Lightspeed Bear has to say. Hey, 4center, you often open your episodes asking, how did Star Wars find you this week? A nice little salad bar appetizer before the main course of the show. Well, in that spirit, Star Wars found me in a big way in May of 2022. About a year prior to that, I posted a live stream question to Alex and Molly from Star Wars Explained, asking if they thought Celebration was worth going to on your own, with the caveat being that solo trip also included a flight all the way from London. The answer was a resounding yes, and it pushed me to book tickets and my hotel. I ended up spending 10 days in LA and Anaheim, and it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life, a real spirit of adventure making my way around on my own. The convention itself, my first ever, was amazing. So many highlights, the Mando Plus panel and Mando Experience, and of course your panel with Star Wars Explained, being surrounded by the light side of the fandom, watching the first two Kenobi episodes in a room full of people, to name a few. Special shout out also for Taylor Gray. I'm not normally big on autograph collecting, but as a huge Rebels fan, I went for it in this case. The man was genuinely delightful to speak to. He was open and friendly, and it made my love for the show all the stronger. After Celebration, I spent a joyous couple of days at Galaxy's Edge and distinctly remember my love of Star Wars never being higher than when March of the Resistance started playing in the middle of the Rise of the Resistance ride. As a huge fan of the sequels, it moved me to tears and rounded the trip out in a wonderful way. My only negative? Someone needs to tell the catering staff at Angel Stadium to make their hot dogs bigger. My expectation of giant-sized American dogs, sadly, crushed. Keep up the amazing work you all do. Ken, there's much to address, specifics, philosophy, but let's start with American wieners. I've never been to Angel Stadium. Are the American dog wieners crushingly small?
They're not as famous. So Dodger dogs are the famous ones, as well as ballpark Frank's in Detroit, which actually is where that brand started. It started in the stadium there. They had a deal there. So Dodger Dogs, and someone out there is probably going to tweet, Dodger Dogs have changed over the last couple of years. They got rid of their partnership with Farmer John and some other brand, and they're a little less tasty. So to Lightspeed Bear, Angel Stadium is actually a wonderful stadium. It's got a lot of food options. It's one of the first stadiums I've ever been to where a waiter came up to me to take my order in a certain section. But you got to get up to Dodger Stadium. They fall out of the bun. You get the supersized one, and it's like 12 inches of dog. And I had one the last time, and I'm a giant baseball fan. Clearly, you hear me talk about stadiums and food, but I've not been to a Dodger game in a few years. I don't follow baseball as closely anymore for no real reason other than just life. But I did go to Dodger Stadium for Lady Gaga, as did you. And I made sure to get a Dodger dog before the Gaga concert, which was a weird place to be. Like, I got to get a Dodger dog. And everyone's like, we're going to dance to Bad Romance. What are you doing? You can't put that in you. But I did. So anyways, Lightspeed Bear, when you come out here again, you got to go to Dodger Stadium. And it's perhaps the most famous dog in the sport.
Yeah. I have only been to Dodger Stadium twice, once for Lady Gaga, once for Guns N' Roses, and both times for Dodger Dogs, which were delightful and a non-sadly crushing size. I really want to go to Dodger Stadium. Summers keep getting busy. I was bugging Ken and another mutual friend of like, take me out to the ball game. I don't know where to sit at a ball game. Take me to the, because I just want to, I like baseball fan. Fine, I'm not a huge fan. Certainly not knowledgeable, but I love that stadium. It feels like you're in this just giant public park, which I know a stadium should feel like. But you know, I grew up in Minneapolis when we had the Metrodome, which was just a surreal, bizarre experience. Of you look up at that dome, and it just shattered all your sense of what your actual height was.
Yeah.
Like a weird forced perspective shot that made you feel like you were falling when you looked up, at least it did to me. Yep. So I love Dodger Stadium and I love those dogs and I would love to go back again, but I've never been to Angel Stadium to be crushed by their small dogs.
But you don't have to, because you can get, they got some nice sushi. I had some sushi there one day. You know, there's a lot of options. Dodger Stadium's got a ton of options now too. That's kind of the way of the stadiums now across the land. But yeah, I like it. I like Angel Stadium a lot, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get to the Star Wars of it here, but we also got to say Lightspeed Bear, like having a strange relationship with the size of a wiener. That's the American experience. The obviously, like, you know, I'm not trying to make any obvious jokes, but like the American attitude of like bigger, louder, faster is better is an obvious thing. And then it's like America itself is working through weird psychological issues. To like, I remember when I was a kid, like they did like just kind of straightforward Oscar Mayer hot dogs kept getting smaller until then they put out the Oscar Mayer wieners that were like bun length actually as big as the bun, and trying to sort of advertise it like it's big and powerful in America. It's like, you shrunk the wieners only to try to make them bigger again. It's like Sigmund Freud is just he is spinning in his grave at the just ridiculous on the nose issues of this.
And you're reminding me, unrelated but related completely, of turning the corner at the cereal aisle as a kid and being like, this box of Apple Jacks is smaller and costs more, Mom. Like, what's going on,
America? Oh, that's great. Yeah, so that brought it all crashing back. Anyway, welcome to Dog Center. Let's talk about Star Wars. The heart of what Lightspeed Bear is saying in this Power of the Light Side segment is really pushing past fear of traveling all by yourself to a different country and really doing a lot. I mean, just a first convention would be, wow, that's amazing. But then to also go to Disneyland and Angel Stadium and take the opportunity to kind of take in LA and Anaheim and America, that's a huge amount of that sort of Star Wars idea of other places as well. But I think Star Wars really concentrates on it, of taking your first step or any big step out into the unknown is always scary, but past the fear is the wonder. How do you feel about that general idea, Ken?
No, I'm an admiration of Lightspeed Bear for taking this kind of trip. You know, I'm someone who started traveling late, and I'd still get intimidated. Hell, I was with Grace, you, and Sarah getting to London, and you were with me. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. What do we do? Where do we go? And you know, you and Sarah had not only been there, had lived there. And I was like, I get it, you know, and then going to Paris was, you know, are they going to be mean to me? What's going on? I don't know. And they weren't. It was lovely. And everyone I met in Paris was just really happy to have us there and talk to us. So, yeah, it is the fear of it all. You know, it's funny. I told the story in my podcast, The Blathering. I'll tell it quickly here. Like, I'd never been stung by a bee my entire life. And was deathly afraid of it. Like, you know, like, I do the bee comes by, I'd like run away, that in a comical way almost. And about a year ago, I got stung in the backyard. And again, caveat, you could be allergic to bees. It could be a little bit more serious. We've all seen the Macaulay Culkin movie. Okay, we get it. But not to talk comical about it, for me, I got stung and I pulled the stinger out and the poor bee, my fault, I bumped into him. And nothing happened. You know what I mean? And I just remember thinking, I've been afraid of this for 46 years. 46 years I've been afraid of this. And now I'm past it. And now, you know, we need to preserve bees. I love bees. You know, they're in our yard. I see them all the time. I talk to them. I love bees. And anyways, that's a little bit what this is and a little bit what's at the Star Wars Center of it all. Fear can be used against you. And I think we have ability to use it against ourselves so easily. So easily. And it's, and this is not fear of, you know, there's bigger, deeper fears, but the fear of just like, if Lightspeed Bear doesn't take this leap, he doesn't get to experience any of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the journey. It's not just about what you accomplish, it's what you experience and feel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I so agree with that. I mean, I'm always fascinated by like the difference between the kind of fears we talk about that are like these deep, irrational fears holding us back. And then there's sometimes like we need to do something that actually does have a little bit of risk to it. And you can't get to the wonder without taking like a little bit of hey, you're alive. That's life risk. Mm-hmm. And then there's the like, you know what? I'm not going to let my fear hold me back. I'm going to walk onto freeway traffic. It's like, well, that's a rational concern. You shouldn't do that. Or like, I'm going to go camping. I'm really afraid of bears, but I'm just going to open all these jars of honey and go to sleep in my tent. And you know what? Not let fear hold me back. Like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
That's asking for trouble. Right. And so I think it's always fun to sort of like piece through what level of fear are we talking about? Is it just like, I get fear that something will go wrong. You know, so sometimes I get scared asking somebody to do something with me because it's just this totally irrational fear of what if it goes wrong? Well, it might, you know, and then there's it's a little bit of a risk because living life is a risk. On this, my recent visit to my to hang out with my dad, one of the things he wanted to do is take a bike ride 2.5 miles up and down some hills to this local brewery. I haven't been on a bike in like 12 years. And that time 12 years ago was somebody gave us a bike and I rode it up and down the alley and I was like, nah. And it was probably 15 years before that it had been an extremely long time. So nothing to be that scared of, but like, I hadn't been on a bike. How is my body going to handle it? You know, I was wearing a helmet, but like, it's like, I could fall off this thing and break my elbow. And that would really put a crimp in my life, you know? And it was great. Cause like, if only there was an analogy for exactly this based on this, it's like riding a bike. Yep.
That's right. It.
You know? So it was kind of like your example of, and I know what you're saying of like, yeah, you don't want to make light of it. There are people who are allergic to bees, but if you're not, it's nowhere near as bad as, you know, yeah. You spend a lifetime going, oh my God, bees, you know, not the bees. And to be stung by one bee is like, ouch. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel bad for the bees. You know.
Yeah. Right.
You know, lose their life in this arrangement here, but yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Take the bike ride, kids.
I didn't fall off. I didn't get stung. Mm-hmm. I got to eat some ice cream at the Dairy Queen. It was worth it all. Do you have any thoughts or responses to the Lightspeed Bear's experience, specifically going to Star Wars Celebration in 2022, how it compared with your experience or your joy there?
I actually am getting the nostalgia feels for that convention. That seems like a lifetime ago. That was last mm-hmm. week. London, and London was spectacular too for its own reasons. But yeah, there's something great about Anaheim. Just everyone getting back out and seeing it. You know, it did affect people. There might have maybe we rushed out too soon. There was a special kind of joy there. I'm glad Lightspeed Bear got to feel it. Glad everyone got to experience it. And just, from you and I watching Obi-Wan Kenobi in my hotel room, cause, that ended up being kind of the best path for us to do it screening, or just seeing them supporting friends there. The lobby bars, my favorite hobby, going to lobby bars, all those kind of things. Me making you and Brian Ward go out to a bubblegum shrimp across the street. Like, a lot of memories. And I'm glad you got to experience it there, including the memories of Alex Amali coming back from a rave. Alex with dripping mascara off his eyes and sweating. And kind of
yeah. Yeah, no, and we watched those Kenobi episodes in your hotel room, and then we went to the hotel bar, and I think people are at a different hotel bar, and a great time just sitting there drinking a martini and just enthusing about Kenobi together, and that Mando experience. Seen a lot of those costumes up close, but the drummer astromech droid and taking a million pictures of that. They're all very similar, the Star Wars celebrations that I've been to, in terms of like their component parts. But each one, based on the city, based on what's going on in Star Wars, it creates its own special, unique magic. And this is yet another great perspective, too, for us. Like, we still had to get a hotel room, but in our backyard, we were at the Mando experience on Sunday, and, you know, I was home 4 hours later, back to regular life. But for Lightspeed Bear, that was just the tip of the iceberg of adventure. And I think that is always what makes doing Force Center, sharing in the Star Wars journey with other people. I get so much by remembering that everybody's experiencing it in a different way, because we all have different experiences and perspectives.
Yeah, no, so true. So true. And that's what so fun about Celebration is. Everyone brings those Star Wars experiences and perspectives to one fun place. You feel it.
Yep. And my last thought about what Lightspeed Bear is sharing here, when they say, my love of Star Wars never being higher than when March of Resistance started playing in the middle of the Rise of the Resistance ride. Galaxy's Edge has so many opportunities for immersion. And that is some of my favorite moments as a Star Wars fan, is to truly feel just for a moment that I'm truly inside the galaxy far, far away. And that is a really beautiful thing. I really relate to that.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait to get back. I don't know when I'm going to be able to, but yeah, I can't wait to experience it again.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the moments for me is on the Rise of the Resistance ride. And I still don't want to spoil it if people are going someday and haven't been on it. I'm a little spoiler obsessed. All right, that is it. We had no questions pre-planned. We had nothing but the thoughts, the wonderful thoughts from Anakin and Lightspeed Bear, which is all we need, because your deep thoughts lead us to so many things that we want to talk about and share, from how to keep going when life is difficult to the size of American hot dog wieners. I think we've covered it all. Any final thoughts, Ken?
Oh, love doing this. Love hanging out with all of you and your deeper thoughts and experiences. Like Joseph said, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, as we find our way forward right now during the strike times, which we hope end fast. But this is kind of one of the things we'll be focused on, is the experiences of this saga. And this was the first great step out to focus on.
Yeah, I really, really agree. So, Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
I do. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're also on Threads at Force Center Pod, Instagram, YouTube as well. As we said before, we are close to launching, or we're close to launching, Jedi Beat, the YouTube edition, Jennifer Landa's series that she was taking from earlier podcasts. We're talking almost 9 years ago podcast here in Force Center and taking them into a new realm on YouTube that's currently paused. The first episode's ready to go. We're just waiting for some clarification for Jennifer, who is a SAG member. So hold on to that. But in the meantime, subscribe over on YouTube if you want to get more content there. You can get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Our podcast available wherever you can find podcasts. Just search and find us. And you can support us directly, which really helps us, at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Ken Knapsack or kennapsack.com for more information on other things I do, including my radio show, Pop Rock and Radio, or live comedy shows like the one Thursday night in San Diego at the American Comedy Company. Mark Ellison friends, Mike Black, old Force Center friend, Mike Black just added to the show because someone, one of the other names had to drop out. So me, Jen Sturger, Ed Greer, who's amazing, Mike Black, Mark Ellis, giving some yucks for y'all down in San Diego. Information and tickets on my website. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Oh, well, you can find me wishing I was at that comedy show, either performing with you all or just watching. That is a great lineup. I love Ed and I love Mike. I love Jen. So that sounds fabulous. But I will be busy with some other stuff, including the short film that I made starring Phil LaMarr. It's called The Narrator. That is playing as a part of the Portland Festival of Cinema, Animation, and Technology, Portland, Oregon. If you're interested in more details, I'm posting about it on my social media, or you can go to their website, pdxfestofcinema.com. That is in August. I will keep sharing details about that as it gets a little bit closer and more short film stuff coming on the way. If you want to find me on social media, I'm on pretty much all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw. In particular, Threads seems to be the heir apparent to Twitter. I posted something today about Threads, kind of being annoyed with Threads, and that is now my most popular post on Threads. So it's just like Twitter, the absolute full Twitter experience. We're only here to complain about being here.
Yes. I'm on Threads too. And Blue Sky, I like Blue Sky probably better than Threads. No one's there. Threads, everyone's there, but I can't find them. I can't see them. It's your tweet was spot on, but we're there.
Blue Sky is very peaceful because it does feel much like the actual sky. Not many people up. But we'll see. Find us on whatever social media you want to try out. That is it for myself, for Ken, for Luke Skywalker finding himself again. This has been Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.